It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Reggie Atatula, John Lopez, Byron in for Figgy Fig today. They are in the loop, and they start now.
Damn, Skippy, we start now. Happy Tuesday to you. Appreciation, of course, to Sean for always giving us a great intro.
Appreciation to B. Scott for making the move.
That's right. I wanted to mention that.
That's a team player
That is a
right
considerate
there.
Human being right
Sean,
there.
Sean, did you see what he did?
No, I did. I commented on
amazing?
It to him during the break. I said, you're making me look bad.
Did
man.
You see that?
How no,
he
I did.
He packed up during the break, I got it all it. Over here, so Reggie could sit right there and get it done.
Which is not necessary.
B. Scott, give me a high five.
But also, because of my role. I'm very in tune to what all of you do.
Yeah.
Because on any given day, I might sit in for any one of you.
Yeah.
So I know what goes on for everybody.
Yeah.
So it's just easier for me to do.
I know I'm an entitled brat.
Sean, I thought that was really nice of him.
That was, yeah. I can tell.
I don't nice have Sean's status. I humble myself.
Who said?
That's not true.
Hey, man, let that name B. Scott from Hiram Clark bring out and see what happens after that. Shout out to B.
My
Scott.
My birthday was last week. He didn't even move.
It was last week.
I didn't know until I saw the email that it was your birthday.
I don't announce
which he's not happy about, by the way.
I yelled at Leroy.
He did?
He
what
actually
are you doing?
Did.
Why are you doing that to me?
He shouldn't shout out to our guy Figgy Fig, who he is out today, but don't go to making fun of him. He is out for good reasons. He's out reading to the babies, making sure the literacy happens amongst the youth of Houston, Texas. So shout out to Figgy Fig. We'll catch him back in the studio tomorrow. All right. Let's get going on a Tuesday here in the loop. You can always get involved with the program by texting in to the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610, and then also get involved on either the YouTube or the Twitch, both of those brought to you by Mo Karam Injury Lawyers. And I want to circle back to another program on this station, Texans All Access. They do a fantastic job, especially in these instances where they have an opportunity to be, you know, out on the road. In some ways, they you know, they talked to Casario and D'Amico at the Combine, and they did something similar yesterday as we heard Mark Vandermeer talk to the head coach of this team, D'Amico Ryans, at the league meeting in West Palm Beach. And I thought there were, and you definitely thought there were some things that you felt to be somewhat illuminating, no?
Yeah, how about, I'm going to give Sean Pendergast his love now, because also B. Scott, You know, we all like to have that validation. So I immediately thought about this, and then I opened up my phone, and I saw Sean tweeted out a poll about this.
Brandy, a Pender poll, sir.
A Pender poll.
Those things are branded.
Yes. Obviously, B. Scott brought up a question this morning on the show, and I had the exact same question. I was already typing on my notes.
Sure.
Did D'Amico tell us he's pretty much good with the offensive line? Are we good?
Good? In theory, no.
Did D'Amico tell us?
And did D'Amico tell us that? That is a possibility. In fact, I take you to Texans All Access. This is Cut 5, Byron. By the way, shout out to Byron Matthews sitting in for Figgy Fig on this day. But this is D'Amico Ryans talking about rebuilding the offensive line. And D'Amico, what are you looking to accomplish here?
Yeah, with our offensive line, I'm looking to just, when I say reshape it, revamp it, we got quality players.
Right.
Adding Cam Robinson, Trent Brown, Lakin Tomlinson, Ed Ingram, these guys have played. They've started NFL games. They have experience. Now, I'm hoping that experience, along with our young guys and all the guys competing, we can find the best five guys for us. And the biggest thing for me is the mindset of our offensive line is making sure we instill that pride that we're going to protect our quarterback, right? We're going to play tough. We're going to play physical. We're going to play nasty. And that's what I want to see from our offensive line.
So mindset, pride, quality players.
Sure.
You can kind of read into that what you want, but I think at least three of us kind of wondered, are they good? And I know they're going to, I think the odds are they're still going to draft an offensive lineman with the number 25 overall pick, but maybe not.
I would like to go to the John Lopez sports book for a moment, if you don't mind.
Yeah, man.
You said the odds are, if you were to put, I'm just going to ask it as a percentage because I don't want to get mired in like what the odds actually are.
Yeah, it's but plus whatever.
Percentage chance that after day two, there is another offensive lineman in this room is what?
After day two.
Correct. So after the third round is completed, that there is
85%.
Really? That low?
I think they're going to draft one. Well, day two's third round too, isn't it?
Exactly.
95%.
There we go. That's about what I was anticipating from you and just in general, right? It just feels like, and more likely than not is like, a majority, which is 50%. And I think that probably says nothing. But I think that there is a high likelihood, and it's damn near impossible that they come out of those 2 days without having taken a offensive lineman, whether that's like one of these tackles that it seems like a lot of the draft scouts are mocking to the Texans, or if it's one of these guards going backwards a little bit to the place that we felt like we were prior, and maybe you feel the addition of Cam Robinson stabilized the outsides and you're just going to add someone in the interior, what have you.
Yeah.
It feels like you are going to add an offensive lineman. I think the question is, does that young offensive lineman get in early?
Okay, let me ask you this. How about after day one?
And that is a question that is popping up.
Like, day one's going to be a starter.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you draft a first round pick, the anticipation is that that person is going to come in and start, except for like a few very small circumstances in which you probably are drafting a guy in a position that you're already good at, however you're drafting for the future of it, right? There's some situations that you look at.
Yeah.
Like maybe you look at the Rams, who have Rob Havenstein as a tackle on their offensive line. He's a starter. However, they might still draft a tackle saying, in the future, that person's going to take over because Havenstein might be like actually about ready to be done, right? Yeah. Maybe in circumstances like
that. But by
and
large, you're drafting a starter, and so what are the odds in day one?
And that feels like it dips a little bit. I will salute Brad Daugherty of the Texans because he puts together his mock draft. Drew Daugherty.
Yeah, Brad Daugherty's NASCAR owner.
Yeah, and he was the Cavs player.
Right? Yeah.
I do that all the time, don't I? Drew Daugherty, apologies to the man, the work is undeniable, even if my dumb self can't remember names properly. But he is the man for the Texans who puts together the mock draft roundup, who goes to, I appreciate this work quite a bit because he siphons through, like everybody's putting out mock drafts, but he kind of gets to the most credible of the sources who put out mock drafts. And he has, if you look at the most mocked players to the Texans, a majority of them are offensive linemen. But then you get a decent amount of wide receivers in there, whether it's Emeka Egbuka, who obviously is like the most likely. Sometimes you'll get in some Matthew Golden or what have you. Day one, it feels like it's probably like what, a 65%.
I was gonna ask you, if I say 65%.
Oh, so that was the I hit the push.
Yeah. What would you say? I think that's about right. I think that's about right. Now, here's the other part of this that's interesting to me, and I don't mean to be copping out or vague or whatever. It's just interesting. I mean, I don't know if it's a good or bad thing that they might be good with. I mean, he said these are all guys that started. I mean, he was talking about Ingram, you know,
yep.
and guys that we didn't think had a really big chance. But the way he's talking about it, he's like, hey, veteran guys, we want them nasty. We want the mindset. They've all started. Quality players is another term that he used. I don't know if it's good or bad. Are they good? Are they good with this line?
I think that they would not be in this place if they did not have some level of whether you believe them to like actually be right in this belief in the guys that they brought in, mm-hmm. and because the watchword has been competition. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in order to have competition, you would imagine you have to have capable competitors. And so in theory, they have brought in a whole bunch of dudes that can compete. And to mm-hmm. some degree, like, you can absolutely see that, right? Cam Robinson obviously was a starter all last year between his time in Jacksonville and Minnesota, although, you know, it seemed to fall off a little bit in Minnesota. And you could point to some of the ways in which the techniques were different, as I think Nate Tice did mm-hmm. on his podcast, right? You could talk about Laken Tomlinson, started all 17 games, in fact,
yeah.
for the Seattle Seahawks. Like, to what degree of capability, mm-hmm. you can argue that. Ed Ingram, I think he lost his job yes. last year, but he has been in contention to be a starter. He's mm-hmm. been that kind of player. We know the guys that are already on the team, the levels of belief that you have to have in those guys to start with. Like, you believe that all of them can be capable starters, and it seems like that is the bar that they have.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like also, though, for me personally, having seen what C.J. Stroud went through, hell, having seen, and mm-hmm. I can't shake this from my mind, seeing what the Chiefs went through when their offensive line did not play up to standard the couple of times
yeah.
that they went to the Super Bowl and it did not look right, especially including the time where they had the best, what is widely regarded as the best quarterback in the league and the best player in the world
yeah.
out here throwing passes horizontal to the field, mm-hmm. to the playing surface, because the offensive line wasn't together. I feel like that should not be the bar. However, if that's the bar, is just we think that we can get a one band, one sound mm-hmm. out of this mug, right? Like, if we can get to that place, then this will be fine. If that's what you believe, I think that you can see how you got there. But I'm still in a place where I would like to see more talent at it, and that feels like that's going to be the young guys coming in. So,
bingo.
No.
You mentioned the Chiefs, and I think that's a great example that I actually didn't think about, so it fits perfectly with the next question I had for myself as much as for you and our listeners. All right, so it's about mindset. It's about swarm offensively, right, with the offensive line. The difference to me is, well, let me pose it as a question. The Texans' defense is all about swarm, and it's an attitude, it's a culture that they've developed. Swarm defense. But they're really good. Like, they're really talented. They have two of the best edge rushers you can think of. They have badass cornerbacks. You know, they have a mean linebacker. You know, they have good, really, really good players. Does the mindset on the offensive line matter if they're not really good too? I mean, it's easy to sit here and say mindset, swarm, five fingers in a glove, all that stuff. But if they're not really good up front, does it matter?
I mean, yes, to some degree, because mm-hmm. mindset, especially in that position in particular,
mm-hmm.
right? Offensive line is very much, yeah, you need some want to yeah. be able to go and do that position. Like, this is the dirty work. It's the position that we talk about in such a way where we go, when you're doing your job well, you get no level. Like, it's not yeah. like anybody's coming and patting you on the back. So this is a position that you have to, like, have. There has to be an internal, you know, motivation that mm-hmm. happens there, which I think lines up pretty nicely with the idea of the mindset that you take to the job. So that matters a yeah. good deal. In fact, that's one of the reasons and why I think, at least on the outside of the building, there's been a lot of talk about this offensive line last year in the ways of, yo, this needs to be shaken up. This mm-hmm. can't remain as such. And I think that for you, when you've talked about like the whole idea of the toxic locker room mm-hmm. or whatever that's been used, and I know that word is really, I mean, it's contentious or what have you. But I think that probably is what you're talking about, right? Is
yeah.
just, hey, how much want to does this offensive line demonstrate in going about and like trying to dominate their opposition? And it felt like that was lacking in some way.
It's easy.
I think that matters. However, I do think that you can't have that matter to the point where you neglect a level
right.
of talent.
All right. Because it's easy to say, boy, this defense really swarms. when it's freaking Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson.
Sure.
You know, all of a sudden swarm, you know, that gets a lot easier to do. But if you have Laken Tomlinson and Ed Ingram and, you know, whatever you think of Cam Robinson and Trent Brown at this point in their careers, it is swarm going to make them all of a sudden one of the better, you know, protection units in the NFL?
But with all due respect, right, like some of the swarm dudes as well on the defense are not like the guys that you would look at as it. I'm glad that you mentioned names before I could, because I was like, man, how do I do this without sounding like a jerk? That's like, hey, he's not all that good, but he's playing above his, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's a real jerk way of going about this.
Petrie.
Yeah. I mean, how do we feel about Tim Settle in that way? How do we feel about Mario Edwards in that way? Like, you've seen the ways in which, yes, that competition, that swarm mentality can elevate talent, but I think you're right. You still need the tent poles. Mm-hmm. You still need the guys, you know, the Jimmys and Joes still matter in this league. Yeah. Otherwise, we would not spend months upon months upon months doing the whole draft scouting thing, especially in a public-facing way, like media evaluation and all that stuff, if it did not matter to what's happening here. And that's why I'm still, like, I come back to that question that B. Scott asked that ended up on the Pender poll that you've posed in some way in this segment, which is, are they good? And in some ways, no, I don't. Yeah. I still don't see that particular player. Because if you look at the, let's look at the line room that currently exists for this Houston Texas team. Who is that tent pole, if you were to say that you had, or who all would be the tent poles
on the line?
On the offensive line, I would say that is the talent.
I would point to Cam Robinson. They would point to Trent Brown, I feel, just based on, you know, what the things they've said about him. But boy, you know, both of those have some.
You're not putting Titus in there, especially if he plays guard?
I guess.
Okay.
I guess I'd put Titus there if he plays guard, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm still in that place where I don't know that they're fully good. Mm-hmm. Can they be better? Sure. And this is the additional level of it. And I think we'll circle back around to talking about this, because later on in the show, I want to ask what the listeners, what our dream and nightmare picks are for that 25 pick, should the Texans stand pat and select there. But I think that why it's imperative that you do, in fact, go for a lineman and one that you believe to be really good and that they factor in very early, of course, provided that they actually are capable of playing at the level that you need them to, right? That's an obvious caveat that you need there, is because I think that you make the Laremy Tunsil move not just for this season. In fact, you can make the argument that it's more for the seasons coming after this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I would kind of really hate if you ended up with a line where you have talent that objectively is less good than Laremy Tunsil this year, and you have not set yourself up for the year's future where those, you know, those young talented guys haven't gotten experience to solidify that offensive line for 2-3 years down the road with CJ Stroud behind them.
Yeah, well, you know, ideally you're looking at week 5, maybe week 6, where you did draft a guard this season in the upcoming draft, and he becomes a starter by week 5, week 6, and then you have, you know, an upper tier, you know, player there, whether he's a tackle or a guard. I would suspect guard. All of a sudden, that's what you're talking about. You feel a little better about at least moving forward with those types of guys.
Right, because then you start having one. Again, you circle back to, if that's a first-round pick, that's a first-round offensive lineman, that you anticipate that being a starting caliber player. And a starting caliber player, maybe even to the level of being a tent-pole player. You put that tent-pole in place, and now you can build around it to have an offensive line that hopefully has that mentality that you want, the swarminess, but then also the talent level to also then take that swarminess and enforce it upon others in the league. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know if they're good. And honestly, I don't know that I have really much option than to be like good with what you have right now, pending the NFL draft, which is honestly just over 3 weeks away. Like I don't know if I could say it snuck up on us, but it's kind of amazing how quickly we've gotten to this place. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a Tuesday. Coming up next, let's circle around to your Houston Rockets. Unfortunately, they fall yesterday to the Los Angeles Lakers. What was your big takeaway from this game? Because I'm very interested and intrigued by Lopez's takeaway from this game. I'll give you what.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
That is next.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adetula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, that's the number. 713-572-4610. The Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Let us know, what were your takeaways from a Rockets loss versus the Los Angeles Lakers national TV game? Second night of a back-to-back, if you want to find. Like, I love, especially in sports, like the natural kind of reactions, whether the game goes well for you, the bad, or goes poorly for you, the things that you can kind of throw out as defenses or excuses or what have you.
Or both.
Second night of back-to-back, always a good one, man. Like, hey, well, you know.
Yeah.
Second
what
night
did
of
you
back-to-back.
Expect, man?
Second night of back-to-back. I actually don't think that factored in as much in this game, or maybe you think it did. 713-572-4610. Again, Figgy Fig hanging out, reading to the babies on this Tuesday, so salute to him if you want to give him a shout out at the Figgy Fig on social media. But Lopez, you obviously watched this game. It was a very good one. The Rockets had the opportunity of fully clinching.
It was an important one.
Fully 50 clinching
wins,
50
playoffs.
Wins, and officially clinching playoff a playoff berth that they will go to. But it would just been nice to have that officially locked in. But unfortunately, they can't get it done versus the Los Angeles Lakers. And in this game, there was definitely some things that I think you could take away or maybe try and extrapolate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in the one that you came to.
Well, it's funny because I was watching this game, especially the end of it, and it kind of reminded me of what we saw right before the All-Star break. This looked like a Rockets team that was kind of a step slow, not the best shooting. Second quarter they did all right, but not the best shooting. Defense was a little lax. They didn't create a lot of free throws, and you know, people will argue about refs and all that, but you create a lot of free throws as well, you know, with how you're playing offensively and attacking and all that stuff. It kind of reminded me of what we saw from the Rockets, which was alarming at the time, you know, at the end, right before the All-Star break. For some reason, I'm not as alarmed. I'm not as alarmed this time. A couple of the reasons why is, while you know we're going down the stretch here, important games, big games that are going to maybe swing the postseason a little bit in terms of your opponent, but they have a a rare couple of days off early part of next week. I believe Monday and Tuesday. They have 2 days off, which is always good to kind of get your legs back under you. Then you get into the postseason. You get a little break before the postseason, just a couple more days, and then you're playing. Now, they might struggle in the postseason. It's going to be all new to them, et cetera. But I don't feel this is something that's going to linger. You know, I think it wasn't necessarily, you know, because of the second day of back-to-back. I think a lot of stuff is just piled up. All these wins, the win streak, what was it, 11 out of 12, whatever it was.
Correct.
Whatever it was. It wasn't one of those nights, just a bad night, because there were symptoms there. They looked tired. They looked a little slow. They missed some shots. Şengün and Jalen Green, you know, were off. Jalen Green had 9 points. But there were some symptoms, but I'm not as worried because I think they can recover from this a little easier.
All right. So yeah. I agree with you that I don't know that there was a ton of things that were super alarming, right? The shot making it's a make or miss league is what they say. Mm-hmm. The shot making wasn't there in the same way that you would hope. And you saw that it was kind of ugly back and forth early on in the game for both teams in some ways. But one of the things that I thought was interesting is actually, and maybe I need to ask a question before I even get here. Is this fair? Because I was thinking about this and I'm like, did this expose a level of maybe a way at trying to get at the Rockets? And of course, not every team is going to be able to do this or what have you, but does this expose something? Or am I being overreactionary?
Well, what is it?
I think that the Lakers did a really good job of packing the paint on the Rockets. They did a good job of and I don't know that they necessarily just everybody got in, but what they did was obviously guys are defending their guys on the perimeter, but they're taking an extra step in so that they can help in, or they're helping off their players a little bit.
They can crash in a little bit
easier and make it difficult for guys to get downhill, which I think it helped a little bit when it came to not necessarily Rockets not necessarily getting as many foul calls. Although there was some Lakers privilege that displayed itself in this game, right? But not getting as many foul calls, not scoring as well because it's a team that definitely likes getting downhill. And I wonder if that is something that teams are going to be able to replicate, saying we're going to dare you to knock down shots. And of course, this was a game in which they knocked down shots at an okay rate, but they just didn't get a ton of them up. But then I also wonder if that they're going to dare them to knock down shots, not going to allow them to get into the paint, and really more importantly, add more people that makes it more difficult for the Rockets to do the thing that they do really well, which is get bored.
I think this is something that teams have periodically tried on the Rockets, you know, going back to last season. I think that's the formula, you know, try to dare them to make shots. Now they've been, you know, obviously somewhat better at doing that, but no, I don't think it necessarily is exposing something. I think it's been exposed. I think it's something that, you know, that's the template. That's the way you try to beat the Rockets. And if you're successful and Şengün isn't getting a lot done, you know, at the high post or whatever, then you're going to win, you know. And it was like a close game that never really felt close, you know.
Did it feel close to you?
No, I felt like the Lakers were just always kind of like staving off, you know, the little runs.
Specifically the fourth quarter, is that what you're talking
especially
about?
The fourth quarter, but, you know, in the second quarter, was it tied at half? Anyway, it was close at half.
It might have been a one-point game, 48-47, if memory serves.
It was close at the half. And then after that, they could just stave them off. It was like one of those games, like, you kind of knew the Lakers were in control, even though it was very gettable. And I think a lot of that has to do with what you're talking about. Like the Rockets couldn't ever make that big shot, you know?
So there's that. And I mentioned the Lakers privilege, and people already started talking about some of that, right, when it came to it. There was weird stuff, including, can you give me this, Byron, Tari Eason, at one point, just monstrous jam, a little 17-on-17 crime. Tari Eason wears 17.
How dare he look at his teammates.
of the Lakers wears 17 and a monstrous, thunderous jam that ended like this.
Because this was a beautiful move on Finney Smith. Great. There's the dunk. Well, he said something. Oh, come on. Come on, man. Oh, you knew how I was going to react on that. Are you kidding me? Come on, Trey Maddox. You're better than that. This is the NBA. I can see in college, high school. Stop it. Come on, man.
Shout out to Reggie Miller, man. Like, Reggie Miller, I don't always love his analysis, even though I am his namesake, and I believe I'm at least in part named in honor of him or what have you. But yeah, man, I think he's 100% right. Like, that was an atrocious technical foul to give, especially when you consider the opponents here.
Yeah,
LeBron James and Luka Doncic are notorious complainers or talkers, and they don't have that same level of feel. And it felt like There's Lakers privilege pop.
It was absolutely Lakers privilege. He was looking at his teammates. Now, I'm not going to say he wasn't necessarily looking at his teammates and talking at, you know, to the defender, but nevertheless, it shouldn't have been a tech anyway.
All right. So one more thing that I think is an interesting takeaway that's we've seen a few times on the text line. Speaking of Ime Udoka and decisions, and mm-hmm. I think it really filters down to one decision in particular, mm-hmm. the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Where you get to about 3.5 minutes out, or 3.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and Jalen Green, who has really come on in the last month or so at least, but over the entirety of the season,
mm-hmm.
Not just as the scorer that you knew him to be capable of, but also a little bit playmaking wise as well. He sits down, and mm-hmm. Reggie Miller asked a question to again give him credit on the national broadcast. Like, who does this team go to late in the game? And I don't think that's novel. Obviously, you've brought that up. Many people have brought that up about this Rockets team. But I think it demonstrated itself in this game. Because I actually took down notes on where the Rockets attempted to go, what they attempted to do in the last possessions of this game.
Mm-hmm.
They went to a Dylan Brooks mismatch post-up against Austin Reeves. And then that led to a turnaround fadeaway jumper that missed.
Yeah.
Shangoon post-up. High post, mind you, double team. He dropped it off to Jabari for a push shot that went in. There was another Fred VanVleet screen or a Shangoon screen on Fred VanVleet's man that led to a dump down to Amen Thompson in the low post, and another one that was stolen. Right,
yeah.
And so a couple of instances trying to get it down to Amen in the post, and then like there was another swing, and then an entry pass to Shangoon that was stolen as well. Like it didn't go well, but it felt like. Without Jalen Green on the floor, there wasn't like a particular guy that they went to. Although if I tried to focus to a couple of them, it was trying to get the ball to Amen down low. Yeah. And it was trying to get the ball to Shangoon in the general post area, paint mm-hmm. area, if not the restricted area.
Look, I think, you know, it's an old story. Jalen Green is, I think Jalen Green has taken over that role, but he can still be somewhat erratic. Maybe it was fatigue, whatever it was. So they had to find something else. I think it's Amen Thompson. I think you have to go with Amen Thompson, and I don't think they did a good job. Maybe starting with Shangoon and seeing how they play him and then getting the ball on a drive or a back cut or something like that to Amen Thompson. But it's not a new story. Like, they don't have – we've been asking it for 2 years. Who's the guy? Who's the guy? I think Jalen Green is the guy, but it's sort of, I guess, flighty sometimes with him. Yeah.
And I think that's tough because if you're having which he wasn't having a good game, he ultimately finished with 9 points, right?
No.
He wasn't having a good game, and I imagine that was some of the reason why Ime did not go to him. But considering how difficult it looked just in general when you're mm-hmm. like, hey, you don't have another guy that you feel great about just getting the ball specifically to them, I do wonder if you go, hey, this is the guy that we need him to be, so just put it in his hands and let him like win or lose with him. In that moment, especially mm-hmm. as he's gotten better at, you know, making the right play.
Yeah.
Trust him to try and make the right play through a relatively tough game. I think that's what you do for a guy who you're trying to develop into that. I think that's the one complaint that I would have about Ime in that game.
Hey, I don't mind that. I don't mind giving him the opportunity to fail in that. So I do think it's going to be Jalen Green. But in that situation, you know, one thing we have to remember is if there is a blind spot with this team and really Ime Udoka, it's figuring out the ends of games offensively. So it also points to Udoka and sort of like where he's looking, what he has the most confidence in. I don't know if he has the confidence, especially last night, and how much confidence he has in any of those guys.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I think the big takeaway for folks, the Rockets still don't have like a specific closer.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, at least the way that they view it from the way that they played it at the end, if they have someone who's hot, they will go there. The tough part about it is when you have a night when someone isn't hot, how do you handle that?
Yeah.
And it kind of sucked that you did not have Jalen Green playing those last few minutes because it was.
I'd have still gone to him.
It was
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It was literally the day when he was named Western Conference Player of the
that?
Week. Yeah. He literally was named Western Conference Player of the Week coming off of a week where he averaged damn near 29 points a game, 7 boards and 4 assists.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was not on the floor to close out the game. I did not love that. But you go again, right? It's still a very good team. They're still going to have an opportunity in the next couple of days to get back after it and, you know, fully clinch the playoffs and get themselves back rolling. But just a little bit of a tough loss to the Los Angeles Lakers last night. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day, inspired by some Cougs fans that have already set up a nice trek to San Antonio mm-hmm. to watch. U of H face off against Duke in the Final Four. What's the most extreme length that you've gone to just to watch your squad? Text it in on the Gym Out of the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next. All right, let's get to the question of the day here in Loop. Text in the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. Your answer to this question, what's the most extreme length that you've gone to just to watch your squad? Now, Lopez, what was the impetus for this one?
Okay, so this was the first time I ever had a chance to write the lead story on an Aggie football game. It was 1981. I was a freshman at A&M. There was one caveat. They didn't have a travel budget.
Oh, so you had to get yourself there.
You can have the front page story on the battalion at the battalion newspaper if you can get there and write this. They gave me all the equipment I needed. You know, that was back in the day where, you know, the old phone lines and all that stuff.
Oh, I was like, that noise did not mean anything to me.
We had dial up, you know, and all that stuff.
Okay, yes, very good.
I said, well, yeah. So I had three buddies, two roommates and another buddy, and I had my Datsun, my 1979 blue Datsun truck. Now, it wasn't a king cab. What do they call them? There was those little bitty trucks, and then the back seat was like a half seat with bench where you can face each other.
Yeah.
So it was really small, the cab. Threw all our bags in the back. Not a whole lot, to be honest. And
I mean, when you're in college, you can travel light as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some instances where you could travel with the clothes on your back, and you'd be out.
Yeah. And the Aggies were facing Arkansas. Shout out to Clint Sterner. In Little Rock. They used to play some games in Little Rock.
Okay, I was about to say, and it's not, wasn't in Fayetteville?
No, it wasn't in Fayetteville. And so we drove to Little Rock 9 hours, Friday night. One of our buddies had an uncle, I believe it was an uncle or an aunt, that was living in, had a house in Little Rock. So four of us drove in my little Datsun 9 hours straight through. Never met these people before in our lives, ever. And he barely knew his uncle. I mean, it was just one of those. I got an uncle in Little Rock.
Did y'all just show up, or was there communication?
No, there was some communication, but we showed up, pretty much ate all their food, slept on their living room floor, went to the game. I did my story. Pretty much all we bought was beer, you know, one of those types
of
things.
Essentials, of course.
Went to the game, drove home after the game in a 1979 Datsun. The only thing we did for them is I left a thank you note.
That's not bad, man. Like that is something that not enough people do, is write a thank you note. And when I say thank you note, rather, and when I say not enough people, I am pointing to myself.
Yeah,
I'm the guy who, like, have you ever seen, I don't even remember who did a stand-up bit about this, where, like, you know, the people that give up their seat on a plane when, like, a service member comes onto the plane or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm the type of person where I think it in my head, and that's
but
good enough for me.
It's done.
Yes, I am the thank you note in my head. Like, oh, it'd be nice to write a thank you note. Yeah. Do I actually write them? No, I do not. Well, so, I'll give you credit for writing.
Most of it was guilt, because when I say we ate all their food.
Oh, no.
I mean, we ate all their food.
Did y'all wash some dishes or something?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
And the impetus for this one was I was talking to a buddy of mine that sells boats. And he's got to be on the floor selling boats on Sunday. They're open on the weekends, obviously. So he's got to be there at 8 a.m. Sunday. But he and some buddies are going to drive to San Antonio. They got tickets to get in. I think he said they spent $250 a pop, just upper level nosebleeds. They're going to get in. They're going to leave Saturday. They don't know where they're going to sleep. I'm presuming in their car or while someone is driving or whatever. Going to the game. And he's going to be back on the floor at 8 a.m. What's the length you've gone just to watch your squad?
All right, so mine is not a physical one, because I know that Sean was detailing times where he hopped in the car, rickety car with too many people in the car, and they drove out many miles to go and see something.
For
me, it is not that particular type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was at Kansas State University, the year I was there, lived in the dorms, and you know, sometimes when you're dealing with, you know, internet in an institution, like you might understand today, it can be a little slow, it can be a little finicky, and what have you. And so, from time to time, and I hope I'm keeping these things all straight, because it can mix up. I've had to do something like this a couple of times. Mm-hmm. One time, to turn in an assignment, you know, if the internet is not working right, sometimes you just don't got nowhere to be.
Okay.
So there was, you know, there was an instance, and I think it might have been a K-State basketball game, but I'm trying to remember which game was in particular. It was just a game that I needed to watch, and I was going to have to try and watch it in less than legal means on the internet, right? And so We hopped in. Mind you, I went to Kansas State without a car, so I had to beg someone to hop in the car. We drove to a local little strip mall.
Okay.
That housed a coffee shop.
Mm-hmm. And well, you were that guy.
We parked in the back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, behind it.
Yes, of course. You don't want to be too too obvious. So we had tried to be inconspicuous. Parked in the back, tried to use the Wi-Fi to stream a game in somebody's car. So I'm in the back seat of somebody's car.
And y'all are screaming and
watching off of a laptop a basketball game in the back of a, I'm guessing it was a Starbucks. It would have had to have been because Manhattan, Kansas ain't that big.
Yeah.
Right? Back of a Starbucks, like in the back of a Starbucks, looking dead at a dumpster right in front of us in the dead of night. Like that is, I feel like that is probably the length. Right? Just, I need to watch this in the car behind the Starbucks with, mind you, again, we're in a car and I don't think we had like all of the AC adapter type things.
Yeah.
We were just watching the battery tick down so we could watch this game in the car on a laptop.
Hopefully the score ended, the game ended before the battery did.
I have no remember. All I remember was like we were really sitting in the car watching the game on a laptop, huh?
I remember a couple of years ago I watched the end of a game because I had to be somewhere in a car wash stall or whatever. You know the little do-it-yourself car washes.
Yep.
I was keeping up with it as best I could. I was driving somewhere. So then it got close, and I just pulled into the car wash and sat there watching the end of the game in the car wash. Some people have gone to great lengths. What is yours? 713-572-4610.
This one looks like it is a lengthy story, so I'm going to try and pare it down. Before I get there, Ocho, of course, drops in from the 713. Drove and sat through heavy rain to watch a do-or-die high school football game in which his dad coached at Turner Stadium in Humble.
All right.
Got the win, made the playoffs. So it sounds like it was all worth it. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you haven't been in the rain for a high school football game, you haven't watched a high school football game.
Yeah, and you have to have a player
real
or someone on the field to do that. Otherwise, you don't go. Byron, you got one?
Not when it comes to sports, really, but mine's more like what ifs for the future case.
Yeah.
Because most of my stuff is like concerts, really. Yeah. But like, I was, even though I know we're talking about sports, but like, me and my girlfriend, my dad, we were late to a Journey concert. Mm-hmm. So as soon as we sat down, that's when the power went out.
Oh, wow.
And so I made a joke in front of her friends because like the new boyfriend has to sit on the hot seat. And I told everyone that if you're late for this weekend concert, I'm just going to transfer your ticket and you just meet me there. So that might be another argument. But yeah, most of my stuff, like, you know, not paying for parking, maybe. Stuff like that for concerts.
Oh, yeah, just having the whole long walk.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, John, is there a pink lot at NRG?
A pink lot?
Yeah.
I don't remember a pink lot.
That cop lied to me then.
The cop lied to you?
Because he was like, for yellow lot, you have to have a pass. It was like for the Luke Bryan concert, but it's like pink lot. And so I looked on Google, I'm like, there's no pink lot.
I don't remember a pink lot.
Yeah, so I just parked like in the middle of the parking lot by Fiesta right there just to look like I was shopping in Fiesta. It worked out.
From the 512, they said, Rockets first championship, had a final in the morning, left Mobile, Alabama at noon.
Ooh.
Saw the final at Sam's Boat on Richmond with the boys. Oh, so like you came just to hang with the fellas because that was one that you probably could have watched on TV.
Boy, Sam's Boat back there
elsewhere.
Those times was popping. Sam's Boat was the place for Rockets games.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, man, I'm going to have to dig it because someone is sending us
Several paragraphs.
And one of the things that sticks about the text line is that when you get to a certain length, it jumbles them up. I feel like it's like, hey, reading these texts is not difficult enough. Let's see if you can kind of unscramble them. But, yeah, keep sending those in. Like, what are the lengths that you've gone to watch your squad? Because it seems like people are going to... people went to great lengths just to watch the Cougs last weekend in Indianapolis.
Yes.
And good thing that they did, man. They needed all the support they could because that was a road game and then at least a neutral game at the very least when it came to the regional games. Of course, they get through it, and now they'll face off against Duke this Saturday.
I didn't do this because I was covering the game. But I remember the old college football kickoff game that they used to have in the Meadowlands every year. It was different teams every year.
Oh, man, I don't recall that, actually.
But it was in the late 90s, into the 2000s. The Meadowlands would always have a college football kickoff. I flew because I was covering the game, but my brother-in-law and sister-in-law drove from College Station to the Meadowlands to watch that game.
I'm sorry.
Drove.
From College Station, Texas?
Yes. to the Meadowlands.
In New Jersey.
In New Jersey.
Oh, boy. That's dedication. They might win. Does this count? Does this win, though? Because all these other circumstances we talked about is driving, so you have your own personal transportation. Mm-hmm. From the 361, just moved into their first apartment, no TV, caught the bus 2 hours to their mom's house to watch the first Texans draft.
Oh, wow. 2 hour bus ride?
Yeah, because you got to get all the exchanges and everything.
Yeah, that counts.
The bus schedule don't care about where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then from the 281, watched the Rockets game, was on a trip driving on I-10 and wasn't going to make it in time. So stopped at a hotel in the lobby like they were staying there and watched in the lobby, then left. I like that. That's innovation.
Yeah.
That's ingenuity that's happening there.
By the way, there's some police officer that is really having some fun. We got a text, Byron. They did the exact same thing to me. Said the yellow lot was closed, but could go to the pink lot.
I'm telling you, man.
They were just...
I don't remember any... I don't know if there's any pink lot.
Because my friend was laughing at me, but I'm like, dude, like I've never heard of a pink lot. I've heard of teal lot, but I've never heard of pink. And I was like... And I know there was purple lot, but purple lot, you had to have a pass, just like they said for yellow lot. So yeah. I was like, maybe someone misinformed him, but I was just like... I'm like, dude... I didn't have cash on me, so I said, bro, I'm parking FES.
That sounded like a dude that was just like, I'm not trying to deal with this today.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He might have had a little too much to drink the night before, and he's like, look.
He's having some fun.
I'm not dealing with this today. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Let's go around snipe the NFL hunting. Next. Okay, all right.
It's like snipe hunting.
Yeah, let's go around the NFL next. And there's been some rule changes that are coming down from the league meetings. Let's get into those and more next.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.